We studied prayer a little bit on Tuesday, but first I want to try to show you what prayer isn't. And prayer, as I think I've talked about this in here before, but for centuries and centuries, the ritual at the really serious occult groups, they start the meeting by saying the Lord's Prayer in reverse. And I want you to hear, I'm going to read you two versions of it. One is just a literal translation of the Lord's Prayer in reverse. And the other, yes you do. And the other is a formalized version that was used by the SS. I think most of you probably remember, but the SS were the elite of the Nazis, and they were in reality high priests of an occult order, an ancient occult order. And they it took 3 years for their training. They trained in a castle outside of Munich. It was intense training in the art of the occult, physical prowess and all kinds of other things. All of the things that man admires, physical strength, fierce independence, rugged individualist. These men were trained in this capacity, 24 hours a day for 3 years, and then lived it every day throughout the Third Reich, with all kinds of these ritualistic ceremonies every day, including this one of saying the Lord's Prayer in reverse. Now, I went to Germany to do this television show for Canadian television. It was called Adolf Hitler, the New Age Messiah. When I was there, all of the things that led up to Hitler's coming to power are still there. The youth groups, Der Brood, they select. They're funded by an incredible amount of money, and people, those in the know, believe that they are funded by the artworks and the loot that was stolen from, during the time of Hitler's regime. Much of it has never been found. But what they do is they select the best of the best from all of these German and Austrian villages. And they give them, they go to their parents, and they have cradle to the grave security, and promise them university and careers. And
they're still doing this, or just at the time?
No, they're doing it now more than they did earlier. But we had an inside track because of what we were doing to all kinds of stuff that the general public doesn't know about, even in Germany. The man I was doing the television show for had it. There's a woman named Lani Riefenstahl. I can't remember the last name. Riefenstahl. Anyway, she was this incredible beauty who was Hitler's private photographer movie. She filmed everything that Hitler did from the very, very beginning of his rise to power until his death. She had a crew of some 30 of the top cameramen in the country, in the world. She had unlimited budgets, and she was the one that was in charge of producing the life of Adolf Hitler and all of these weird ceremonies. Well, we had access to all of her, and she was a real big fan of the guy that I was working for, and So she provided introductions to the highest levels of German society and some of these leadership in Der Brood. And the reason I'm telling you all this is I was treated like a god. I can't tell you how much it was, because I looked like the perfect Aryan in their eyes. Unbelievable things. And I know why I hate that so badly, once I understood what this large prayer in reverse is. And I hate it so badly in myself, and this tendency to be the loner, the rugged individualist. And I hate it more than anything when I see people trying to cover over their weaknesses so they don't have to be vulnerable. And it's especially odious in someone that's doing it that is a fool. And it is that produces a situation in which what you are looking into is pure evil, and that's what you felt. There is no more evil than that for a fool to be playing the part of the rugged individualist. Now, that's a perfect picture of the human race. It's a perfect picture of these idiotic movie heroes. They're fools. It's a perfect picture of our sports heroes. They're little fools in uniforms and tight pants playing a part of being the hero to a society. It's ludicrous. It's sickening. And I hate it here above all things. When I see someone in the name of God doing it. Trying to con, trying to hustle, trying to play the act of being this successful unit in isolation, who's really a fool. Now, have I laid the predicate well enough? This is the hymn of evil. It starts out by saying amen first. And you say amen first by praying for what you want. That's how you say, so be it, amen first. Amen. The evil one reigns. We have been led into temptation by our pride and our desire. Our boundless ego involves us inevitably in enmity and debt to our neighbor, and a bitter struggle for power and control and material gain, which is our daily bread, wherein the will of the Father in heaven goes unheeded. The kingdom of heaven is cut off in the earth, and the name of God is not hallowed. Now, that's just the version from just translating the words. This is the words translated into English of what they said in the SS. Aum, aum, the evil reigns, witness of egoity becoming free, selfhood, guilt through others incurred, experienced in the daily bread, wherein the will of heaven does not rule, in that man served himself, severed himself from your kingdom, and forgot your names, ye Father in heaven. It's a direct one-to-one worship of the snake. Now, what I want you each to see is how close your daily life comes to that worship of the snake. How much that you can become a debtor to the flesh and a debtor to your own thoughts and your ego rules because your senses rule, because your thoughts rule, because your emotions rule, the evil one rules. And we get so sincere. We say, this is what I feel. This is what I think. It's evil personified. And I have to restrain myself. That's not true. God restrains me from going ballistic when I see that evil reigning. And yet the people are in the name of God. Somehow the gospel has become translated into how can this benefit me? And the evidence that the gospel is successful is that if you don't have any problems in your life and everything is cool, I've got 10,000 problems in my life. They never leave. If they ever left, I probably would leave him, and I know that. And so I can glory in the tribulation. I don't think it's strange to suffer. I don't think it's strange if I don't get my own will. I don't think it's strange if things aren't the way I think they should be. I don't think it's strange if I can't pay the bills. I don't think it's strange if for 20 years I've tried to lay down my life and there's apparently no fruit. I don't think it's strange, even if I knew I was going to hell, that I would still do exactly what I'm doing. I don't think it's strange that for me to sit and think about whether or not I am happy or not, or whether or not my life is turning around or not, is as far from my consciousness as I can conceive. I don't think it's strange if I can't use this body for any purpose. I don't think it's strange if I can't get anything from the Hanukkah lamp. Can you begin to conceive and perceive of the incredible power of the evil one? The subtlety of the evil one who defines you and God as being successful when you are okay? One offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified, and it doesn't mean a diddly squat what condition the flesh is in. I'm so sick of trying to say, well, you got to solve your problem, and this is how you do it. To lay down your life is to lay down everything, not try to fix anything. You lay down the right to yourself in every dimension. Then the Lord's Prayer in reverse has no power over you, because there's nothing for it to stick to. But though he were a son, yet he, the author and finisher of our faith, he learned obedience by the things that he suffered, not by the things he got right. As he is in this world, so are we. Herein is the love of Christ perceived, that as he laid down his soul, his right to himself for the brethren, so also you must lay down your right to yourself for the brethren. In every area of your life, long shall these vain, fruitless thoughts lodge within you? How long are you going to gad about to try to change yourselves? How long are you going to try to continue to get it right? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Though being in the form of God, thought it not something to be grasped, to be equal with God. But he emptied himself and made himself of no reputation. And the emptying went all the way to his death on the cross. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against self. Self cannot be fixed. Now, can everybody maybe right now for just a split second in time define for themselves what prayer isn't? Deliver us from this evil one. Did I communicate with anybody?
When you first read the first one, it was so spooky how close that resembles that place that I get in and have been in. And
it's not spooky. It's just common flesh.
Well, you want to tell yourself that you would never do, say those things or be there or say those. But you wouldn't do that.
Every
day. Yeah, but you do. But I guess it was such a correlation. Well, it's going to, you had this image the way it was going to sound, but it didn't sound that way. It sounded like, hey, this is too familiar.
Isn't it yet clear that if you seek to save your life in any dimension, in any way, you're going to lose it forever? Can't you see that that's fundamentally a problem? They came here to get fixed, and I wouldn't fix them.
You know, hearing for a couple of minutes, listening to you talk about the guys that were in the SS and being able to bring up a picture of
the perfect
of that, and knowing that that's what man admires, that's what man wants, that's what man lifts up, and to hear what it is that they said I don't mean to externalize this, but to hear that, and then right after that to hear, though he were a son, he learned obedience by the things he suffered. To realize that God incarnate, I mean, if anybody ever deserved, well.
Did you ever wonder why, you know, the picture in the West that we have of Adolf Hitler is this madman, a little corporal.
Blood testing.
Do you understand that if Hitler or me or anybody else said the things that he said in America, America would do the same thing? I don't know if I can communicate this one. There were many things that happened to me in that trip to Germany when we did the television program, but one of them was in one of these meetings when, you know, I was being adulated. I recognized, I saw that I had the potential to do almost anything I wanted to on the face of the earth. And that moment was so incredibly evil to me. I can't even... I hear these little pipsqueaks talk about how to be a successful Christian businessman, how to have a successful Christian family. Little fucking idiots.
Yeah, as you said that, I was thinking, what about the Garden of Gethsemane if somebody had brought Christ a book on how to be a successful Messiah?
I just hate pipsqueaks. I hate these little morons. Self-elevated little... It all does, even the slightest hint of seeking for myself does immeasurable damage to the kingdom of God. Even the slightest hint of me trying to get it right does unbelievable wounding to the body of Christ. I don't know how to communicate that. Seek to save your life, you'll lose it. If you seek to save your life in the name of prayer, can't you see that we've got to empty ourselves? We've got to say, Father, slightest hint of filling the temple up with self-concern has to be slain. I mean, we're talking about things that are, from the perspective of God, that are more important than all the armies that have ever been, all of the countries that have ever been, all of the riches and careers and money and everything that has ever been. There's nothing compares to the importance of what I'm talking to you about.
How can you neglect so great a salvation? I mean, the people in the world have an excuse. Have I not communicated what this is about sufficiently? I don't know how to do it any different.
Sometimes I'll get in this loop, and it starts, you know, subtly. One random thought, self-concern, or a lot of times it's, you should be doing something different most of the time. And then it gets into this huge, you know, thing, and it loops. It keeps going around and around and around, and then I realize what's going on, and it's like, I mean, it has... You know, the preaching has worked because all of a sudden I see it in its entirety, what it is, and I think, I can't fix this fall, this habit trail, you know, all I can do is get off. You know, I can't, there's no solutions on this thought loop about self or, you know, any of it, you know, how to fix Jackie or make Jackie better, you know, one more try, you know, it's just, I have to just get off and not think about it anymore, just be.
If we could see that, how do you say it? I can't say the word tonight. It's E-G-O-I-T-Y, egoity.
Egoist.
No, I-T-Y, E-G-O-I-T-Y.
I never heard of it before, but anyway.
Egoity. Egoity. It's the ultimate ego. Egoity.
The thing that gets me is it's like a book would have already been written if you were going to get it right.
Yeah.
But it hasn't been written yet, so it's not, it never has made sense. It would have been written a long, long time ago. Yeah, figure it out.
Well, it would have been called the Bible. It would have replaced this one.
It would have been written by somebody like Shem or Methuselah or somebody. Really smart.
Zig Ziglar.
Sure would have been Zig Ziglar.
Certainly
would
have been Zig
Ziglar. Sure would.
Norman Vincent Peale.
Yeah, there's been plenty of guys, but there surely would have been read lightly.
Norman, you died, Norman. You didn't get it right.
Yeah, what's interesting is that to talk about saying the Lord's Prayer in reverse, I get the image of people in black robes and, you know, this very dark, very devil kind of thing. And then it's like, oh, it's just me? Oh, okay. You know what I mean? But it's like, no, I mean, but it's just like it's like a slight thing, you know, whereas to see that is what I am.
Makes you run to the cross.
You know, it just kind of makes you go, yeah. But I'm there in that image, you know, in that personification. I am that personification, you know.
It feels really dirty.
And you're chanting that.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a chant, by the way. This isn't just a saying. I mean, I never said that thing about how I was adulated when I was in Germany before.
I was going to ask you. I had never heard you talk about that before.
And the reason I didn't is because I'm ashamed of it.
That really touched something in here.
Yeah, it did. I think you said bothered. I didn't really feel bothered, but that did really touch me, because but for the grace of God, I would be doing whatever it is that I'm doing with that person. I mean, everything that you said about in describing the men who were members of the SS, that whole thing, it's all stuff that appeals to me. It's all stuff it's all idolatry that I have inherited it from my fathers, and I worship it. And if it weren't for an unseen hand directing things, I would be 100% situation. I mean, it's a real close.
But I want to talk to one level deeper than that.
Real close call.
I want to talk to one level deeper than that, okay? You have to recognize at that deepest core of your being, where you place the face of Molech on me, that I am never going to be what you expect or what that being wants me to be.
I understand what you just said. I think I know.
If you knew that, then you would no longer worship your thoughts. Even if it were offered, I would run from it.
If what were
offered? You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I think I would too.
I want you to see then, if you heard, I'd cut your legs out from under you if you did that. Well, I don't think you would.
Well, I think I would.
But if you heard anything I said tonight, then you've got to see that to worship your thoughts is to worship that thing in Germany. To give importance to your ideas. I mean, you above all people have to see.
Are you saying that for you to be that person that you saw?
That's what he wanted me to be.
He wants you to
that be. Was his attraction to here. Prayerfully, it's gone, but I'm just saying that it is still resident.
Well, there's no point in me not saying this. I'm going to go ahead and say the thing that causes me turmoil doesn't seem to be those kinds of thoughts. It seems to be the second guessing myself and criticizing. I noticed today that I went out to do something and I came back. It took longer than I thought to do it this morning. When I came back, you had gotten back from wherever it was you were. And it was like a voice inside of me said that I took too long to do what I was doing. I should have been here when you got back and I had screwed up. And I then went off for like an hour or 2 hours of self-awareness. But it's like negative self-awareness. And
it's the same thing.
It's the same thing, Harry. That's what I want you to see. You've got to go to battle with both sides of the coin.
But you see, when I hear things like you got to go to battle with this, and you got to cast this down, and you got to do this, and you got to do this, what I hear is mortify yourself. Kick yourself in the ass. Second guess yourself. Discipline yourself. Keep yourself in line. Work harder. That's what I hear.
It doesn't matter what you
behave.
Hear. It doesn't matter what you hear, Harry.
It's like this.
The scriptures are clear.
I'm thinking I'm the smartest motherfucker in the world, but thinking I'm the stupidest.
For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means not only are they not like bombs and knives and guns and stuff, they're not external. Don't you admit, do you understand that what you just described was a warfare? But the warfare was that it was warfare over Molech. But you externalize Molech and put my face on it and had a battle with him.
No, I didn't follow. I didn't follow the last three things you just
okay,
said.
Okay, listen. I became the target. You got back. I was here. All of a sudden, Molech had a face. I didn't meet the standards of Molech.
I don't know what that means. I thought I did something wrong.
That's what it is.
You only
thought you did something wrong because you saw me.
It wouldn't matter if it was me or someone else.
You know, did you think you did something wrong when you saw Gary Martin? Well, can you not hear me? It's my face on that God. It's exactly the same as what happened in to me in Germany when that room full of men were adulating, or you know, whatever, however you say it.
Well, how in the hell do I get out of it? I wasn't doing anything wrong.
Well, I mean, it seems so clear. I mean, the way he described
Harry, listen! You left arrest. You left peace. Because you saw me, or evidence of me.
Why the hell did I do that? Why do I do that?
It's his standard that you think you'd have to live up to.
No, it's the Molech inside him, whether he's put my face on. I don't give a shit whether you got back or not. But rather than go to war with it at that instant, you said it's kept you in some place for 2 hours. Listen, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations in every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Can't you see that? Why do you think that you became aware of self and self-performance when you saw, I don't know what you saw, I suppose you saw the car. Huh?
That was what I saw. I don't know.
Okay. Did I ask you to do anything, or was I in the picture at all?
No.
But my car was in the picture.
I was doing what you asked me to do.
Okay, my car was in the picture. And so all of a sudden, there was no laying down your life. It was the opposite of laying down your life. It was opposite of redemption of Christ. It was Harry's redemption because now he's feeling bad. In the same way, Harry gets glory because then he, because Ole gave him an attaboy. Now, my point to you is, the reason that happens is that you do not, you somehow, you refuse to go to war with your mind. I promise you, you're going to end up like Matt and Ed and Larry and whoever else is left who was here because of me.
Amen.
Unless you start a warfare. Yeah, I mean, it's either they're the same coin.
I mean, this using the SS as the example on the reverse Lord's Prayer. I mean, it's so clear. You know, if you put yourself in the position of that society, then you know, if you're superior, if you got back after your superior officer or your boss, then it is a right thing to feel bad and know, you know, I mean, in that system, you know, that's right. I mean, if that's what you say, well, that just means to me I gotta kick myself in the butt. Well, but that's still that system. And so, I mean, as long as you're in that game and in that system, then, you know, if your superior officer or, you know, your boss, you know, you gotta keep everything clean, there's all this order. I mean, it's the whole persona. I mean, you can't just...
But it's a uniform, and then it's the little medals for doing something right or for being in the right place. It's the whole persona that all of it has to go. And what I keep trying to convince you of is that part of that being is, I think things should be this way. Or, you know, this is what I like. Or, this reminds me of that. Or all of these things that keep your mind locked into, it's like the tether that the evil one has to you. And so then all of a sudden, as long as the tether's there, then he can come up and smack you just because you see my car.
Yeah, it has felt like what I've told myself is that it's some kind of mental illness that I have no control over.
Well, that's what
it's obviously not true.
The thing that comes to me is true. I mean, you're evil. We're evil. There's no measure part of it. I mean, everybody goes into that right at that moment. If you're into stuff at that moment, that's when you test it off.
Man, the slightest anything of self.
It's not measured out. Yeah. Then all of a sudden, you were there in the beginning.
It's like you're trying to be circumcised outwardly. Something happened inwardly. And rather than dealing with it there, it's like you've given the right to your soul, yourself, to him, but the right of the burnt offering, that seed, is passing through the molech of holy. I think that's what makes him sick.
Well, it's passing through the Molech. It's not Oli's Molech. It's his Molech that he's put Oli's face on.
He's given.
But that's what Ed does. That's what Matt does. And he's passed his seed, which is Christ, through the fires of Molech.
Yeah, it's like you can't be almost pregnant. I mean, it's like you're totally wearing that. You're totally it, or you're totally not. You know, you can't just be just, oh, well, you know, I'll just think that. I mean,
now, this isn't a means of, Harry doesn't have to change himself. There's nothing to do with it. Harry just simply has to repent.
What I understand is, at that moment...
At the moment you become aware... Life,
rather than be weak, rather than give the weakness, what I did was covered it up, made believe, put makeup on, tightened my belt, stuck out my jaw and said, I'm tough. This is what I'm going to do and fix this. And I'm not going to be weak in front of anybody.
Imagine, one of the angels, and we read about, I forget, from one of the Old Testament books, of just going through and just, in that moment, that's what you deserve. That's what we all deserve. It's just to run through and set ablaze.
How about that with my boss and that? Realize that the only way I can get, like, if the worst thing, if you just fired me and ran me off, the only way that feeling, I can really feel bad about it now is that that's really saying that God is not going to exist, and, you know, so that makes him my God.
All right. Yeah, but, and you think that, you know, it's just this old story that you think God has forsaken the earth, and then therefore this other thing has become important.
I don't want to tell God I put him ahead of
him. Well, if we ever do get to what prayer is and what's called the Lord's Prayer, we'll see that the Lord's Prayer is majestic because in that one prayer, it fulfills the law. In that one prayer, it's the Ten Commandments. In that one prayer is everything. And so, but it's not to be repeated by rote. That's the whole point of it. Prayer is being, not saying. What we're going to see is the reason. Let's see if I say this, if we'll have any attendance on Sunday. I'm going to show you how much on Sunday, how much prayer is like sex. And why it's like,
okay. Pack them in, pack
them in. Oh, nice one.
Yeah,
so to speak.
Yeah.
Bring a friend. So
we'll have to get some more couches here.
Bring your wife. That's the way. Point.
Bring a date.
I don't feel like talking anymore.
Harry said something a while back that's helped me, and then, you know, he said one time about he was somewhere this crazy stuff was going on, but it really didn't matter anymore because he knew what he believed.
Right. Yeah, that's when you're anchored.
That really helped, you know, helps me the church. It helps me, you know, all the crazy stuff, Christmas time.
Do you have an idea what, just a slight inkling of what prayer isn't now? You okay?
Yeah, I feel. Like I've been touched by something and have seen something tonight that I have not been touched by or seen before. I mean, there's a clarity to what everybody was saying that's different than what's been here before. I mean, I think I see the simplicity of it. It doesn't seem.
Now I wish that you would quit singing miniature in me all the time. I'm trying to help you see stuff. You think that I'm mono. And maybe I am some of the time. You know, just out to get your ass. But I can't stand it when you get in that place. And it affects everyone. You know, me too, when I get in that place, I need you to.
I was thinking of that last night when we were sitting here talking with the Buckners about Judy and Gary, about being, dare I say it, help me. But I was thinking about how fortunate I am to have you, because that's what you do to me. You just won't put up the same thing that you were talking about, just getting up and leaving the room when Ed's doing that. I mean, that's what you do. You will not commiserate or play the game. I don't know if that will do.
I can see too, though, when things like this come out, I mean, it's not a sadness either right now. It's joy.
No, that thing that piece of behavior that I just talked about, that's been like, maybe not every day. It used to be every day, many times a day. But it's like almost every day at some point or other, for some period of time or other. And it's like I've said it to Holly several times in meetings, but I haven't really said it here, that for a year or two I have felt like I have been going through mental illness. But I've used that as an excuse, that it's some kind of, because I smoke too much dope, or it's because I stopped smoking, or it's because of what, but it's some kind of mental illness.
Well, the reason why I said it is because I see, he'll see something and he'll sit back and it's like he, I sense feeling sorry for himself, or the mind's just still working and trying to figure it out. And I just don't want you to go into that place.
No, I mean, I really, like, I've to settle before. I mean, by the grace of God, I'm in a position where I'm in a place where I can't get away with what I would want to get away with. Not really want to get, but my flesh would want to get away with. I can't. I mean, I can't get away with it because of everybody in this room. And I can see that in this moment. I can see that as that's the gift of God. I mean, that's.
I just want to say that it seems as though that your mind did this subtle thing, that behavior that I did, that you're going to change that behavior. That I guess I just wanted to say that you don't fall into that hole.
Yeah, making it past tense. It's that I do, therefore the cross is ever before me. And so that's the, it's Father, the thing that just blows me away about the Psalms, and the one in particular is 54. I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. So truth, or getting it right, is a sustained consciousness of error. And repentance isn't, I'll get it right next time, or I'm going to. Repentance is always, even any slightest thought about myself has to be turned from. Otherwise, we will slowly believe that we. The trick, and it's a wild trick. The trick of the evil one is always to try to get Israel to take a shortcut. And he does that by using, he does it by language, primarily. And he does it, you understand it, in the interesting thing about the Hebrew language, there's no past tense. So therefore, my sin is ever before me, but also ever before me is Lord, let there be light. I mean, so it's this conundrum that there's no way to explain it in English. Because our mind wants to say, I used to. The moment you say, I used to, Satan's got you by the short hairs.
You're putting the thing behind you. Little behavior, and then you take and move that behavior back here like that was back then. But
is it crazy to hope that the next time I'm faced with that decision that I will opt not to hide and cover it up?
Well, what I pray will happen is that the moment that self-awareness of any kind comes into the picture, whether it be good or bad, whether it be positive or negative, that the self-awareness is the issue that's repented of. And not, it's the awareness of self that is the hook. And so it's not the thing or the act or the deed or the thought or Ollie's car, or it's the awareness of self that's the thing. But the evil one does a trick, and he makes the awareness of self issue oriented, either positive or negative.
Therefore, the awareness of self can be good.
Yeah.
And what, we said over and over again that if we could get that right, then, we would be successful. But that's why we're all...
That's why
we're all here. That's why Barbara, I think, said... She said that, maybe not to see her as your enemy, but she's calling forth.
Yeah, the moment, for instance, the easiest one to see, which takes absolutely no discernment, is anger. It's impossible to get mad unless anger is frustrated greed. It's impossible to be mad for any other reason. Well, then, as time continues, as our obedience and our ears are circumcised, then all of a sudden we become, the discernment goes deeper, and we see, you know, any time there's the subtle trick of trying to become aware of self, that you've then left spirit and are walking in soul. And once you take a step in soul, he's got you. Now the world, all the world knows, and even the religious world, all the religious world knows about is good soul or bad soul. And so, you know, they try to circumcise. Well, what's stupid? They may have the right rules, even. They may even have the right definitions. Doesn't matter, but good soul or bad soul? Well,
Satan don't care.
Yeah, there is no, it's soul, it's awareness. And they even go so far as to teach you how you can have a good soul, and yet they can look directly at the scripture that says if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. And they can read that scripture and it can be right, it could be a bumper sticker right in front of them. And yet they would go to a class to see how to be a good Christian husband or how to be a promise keeper.
Like my sister and her husband, they have a 3-year-old daughter, and they're trying to teach her, if she doesn't like something, to say no thank you if a kid hits her or if someone comes into her space or even, but I mean, she's like, no thank you! And I looked at him and I said, you know, you're teaching her the letter of the law, but not the spirit of it. Because to me, it's just the same. Oh, thank you.
That's funny.
Just a barking dog with a muzzle.
Like a snake itself jumps up, it's like, well, now it's judging. Is it good or is it bad? You know,
no. It's a constant, just awareness of self. Boom. Gone.
It's well because you can see it all day long, but then it's like I got this sense of you look at it, and you see your sins before you, and then you turn from it. It's like we want to see it, and just like you said, skip that middle part instead of trying to find it.
So I keep thinking of the terms of life, like there's like one point, there's a point of eternity, right? It's right here, right?
Would you like to hear? Would you like to hear the Gospel According to Marilyn? Okay, Marilyn can't understand. I mean, she just gets all confused about when they start talking about yesterday or tomorrow, and it just she just confuses her no end. And so Marilyn's solution to everything is: today is always today.
We got two pieces of wisdom today from the kids. One was Marilyn. It's always today. And the other one was Marcus. Salad can kill you. I asked him where he had heard that, and he said, I didn't hear it anywhere. I said, salad can kill you.
Okay, see you next year.